Lord, I thank you for your Holy Spirit this morning as you help us walk through something very interesting for such a season as this. I thank you for your confirmation in it. I pray you get rid of my passion that doesn't belong here and you'd amp my passion up that does. Help me pour out and please you. In Jesus' name, amen. This is Haggai the Prophet, and the Prophet of Priority is this mini-series. This is another book I preach out of ever. I've never preached out of this book here. This book is either avoided by people like the plague, or it's abused by ministry like the plague. It is a tough book. Tough to hear things. And as Miley was commenting on it, you know, how challenging Apostles' program of discipleship could be, you know, it produces something. And sometimes you got to have hard things said to you so you can get growth in our life. Someone has to say, Pastor Sharon, you a fat boy. You need to get back in the garage. Your wife's too beautiful. She can't be hanging out with you looking like that. I said, thank you. Thank you, Mark, for saying that to me. I love you, man. Appreciate you. I said, man, where are those triceps at, dude? You'd sell them? I don't know where they went. You know? You got to have people tell you growth. Hey, it's time to stop being so selfish. Well, I just want to call and tell you, my husband. Yeah, I know your husband does it. Yeah. But you know you. Oh, don't be talking about me. You need a sister to tell you about you when someone else is afraid to tell you about you. I'm just trying to help us. Like, we need that in our life. We don't get growth. Unless I went to private paid school where they dragged me to class, I never would have been educated. You know, I'd have been a street rat. I was at the same time. Thank God I had people grab my, this earlobe's longer. They pull me to class like that. Well, I was there. I might as well do the work. This is kind of one of those messages. I wanted to do the work. The Prophet of Priorities. You have the logo for that by chance, Ball? You do? Maybe. The Prophet of Priorities. Yeah, the Prophet and the Prophet of Priorities. We're going to talk a little about prophecy in this series. And the prophet of doing things God's way and God's timing. It's super important. The prophet of priorities. When you prioritize things, you prioritize them well, you accomplish things better, right? And this message is a little bit about priorities, actually. God's word to Haggai the prophet. It's his prophet to his people. Like in so many ways, we mess up our priorities, right? Say priorities. We jack them up. We do. We don't always do things the right way, the right order. We lose time, focus. Anybody have priority prioritizing stuff sometimes? Yeah. At work, I'm fantastic. Home. You know? I don't want to mess anything up. But proper priorities is not done well can make a disaster. If you don't prioritize some things well, it's a disaster. It really is. It'll ruin your life. Like, for example, I want you to make a cake, right? So I give you everything to make a cake, and you put the butter and the ingredients in the box, right? You put the box in the oven, and you set it for 400. You ain't got no cake. You just got mess. Same ingredients, but not in the wrong order. So you're supposed to open the box first. I want to do it my way. I'm opening the box last with my cake. I'm going to the church of pleasing me. I serve a God who's all about what I want. That's how the church wants to be, though. That's how they want to be. You got to do things in order. In marital relationships, right? If you don't prioritize with your limited time, you don't prioritize what's proper affection in your life and where your love should be headed, your marriage is on the rocks, baby. I've seen guys give 80 hours to the church, serving God in the mission field, and lose their families. I see some of the nicest guys in the world trashed by their wives because they're serving everybody else but home. I'm trying to help us. This is uncomfortable things, but we got to do it better. We got to do it better. And I'm willing to say it because I'm fired up from past being up north. So my filter's just kind of broken. Yeah, I've been around apostles too much. The fact of, I'm telling you, prioritizing properly gets the job done. It gets the job done efficiently, right? And misprioritizing can be frustrating, right? Right? Many people's problems are often because of mispriorities, right? If we look at life close up, right? Things distributed, I feel like priorities and the misuse of things in our life is really the majority of our problem. Most of us have what we need. We don't use it well.
Right.
We misuse our time. We misuse our resources. Right? We're just terrible at it. And it happens over the course of time, even in God's church and God's people. You get humming along in your comfortable relationship with God, and things were uncomfortable. You got through a season of something difficult, and you kind of settle in, and you get into your rhythm of you. And what was priority, it's a little bit lesser, right? And God started to see this. He said, I'm warning you. I want to bless you. There's a lot of things about it, but you got to get your priorities right, because if not, the season that you're going to be in is going to be mashed. And I worried about preaching this lesson a little bit before I get into it with all my notes. I worried a little bit about it because it's uncomfortable. And then I'm doing chapter 2 next Sunday. And in the Amplified, it breaks down some things. And my daughter came out to me, and I've been wrestling in the night season over this. I thought about this at conference when I wasn't sleeping. I did. I did a lot of not sleeping. So I've been thinking a lot about this. And I'm like, Lord, really? Is this? I don't know. I think there's a lot of other cooler ones that really get them excited during this season. That's my opinion, Lord. Everyone's really fired up right now. The guys are up front worshiping. There's anointing in the church. Things are popping and shaking. The community, God, you're doing great things here. Why do I want to let go? Hey, careful. Why do I want to do that? I don't want to do that. And it doesn't matter what I want to do. But confirmation's good when you're worried about that. So my daughter came to me and she said, Daddy, did you do chapter 2 breakdown yet in the Amplified? I said, No, I haven't broken it on the Amplified yet. Why? She goes, you know how it gives the exact dates of when things happen, if they have the date? I said, yeah. She said, you know when Haggai, you know what the date is for Haggai chapter 2? I said, no, what is it? She goes, October 17th. So I'm going to read the book of Haggai to you when it was released that many years ago today. What he wrote to the people of God, I had no idea. I believe he's saying to the people of God today, not so much to chastise us, but to get us ready to accomplish something. And if you don't have your priorities right, you build off base and things fall over. It's a mess. Proper prioritizing is important to God. And so I'm not going to harp on what the abuse of these scriptures are. A lot of times these scriptures are used to generate funds. Give to the church, give. You should give to God what he says you should give to God. And I never don't talk about giving hardly ever. And I may cross it a point or two, but that's not why I'm talking about this. I'm not going to be covering that. That's not what I'm doing. I want us to challenge our priorities. Get an adjustment before your adjustment throws everything off. It's time to reprioritize our lives a little bit, right? I think so anyways. Let's go to our first scripture for me. I'm going to go all the way down there. Just start. Got it for me, dude? Maybe? Got it. Sweet. Are we there? All right. In the second year of Darius, the king of Persia, on the first day of the sixth month, so he started this letter on August 29th. I have no idea when the Lord dropped this in my heart, but it would freak me out if it was August 29th. I just have to say that. On the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came by Haggai, the prophet. You know what's cool about that first part? You can check it in history. It's not a bedtime story. The annals of time have recorded this. You can check it. In Persian history and Hebrew history, two different histories have recorded this. Darius the king and the Hebrews, right? It's part of history. It says the word of the Lord came by. Often the word of the Lord comes by somebody. Yeah. I don't know if anybody, I know someone was ministered to by my daughter-in-law's vulnerability on stage this morning. Right? It takes a vessel sometimes to deliver a message. Right? So the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet. Now, prophecy in our time, we prophesy in part, we know in part. The prophetic words have come forward. I have a prophetic word. I'm trying not to give the guy over here next to Jelly. I'm trying not to bother him today. It's his first service. I've seen him. I don't want to bother him. I may bother you, though, dude. I'm just not sure. But you have this prophetic of today. It's in part. But this is the word of God. The word of the Lord came by Haggai, and he wrote this down for the church of his nation. Israel at his time, right? It's historical. The word of the Lord came by him, the prophet. 100% word of God. Today, I believe this. There are real prophets among us today. I get to prophesy sometimes, broadcast what God is saying. Unless you have good character, I don't care about your gift. I'll try not to let you use the mic. Character. There's lots of gifts of prophecy, but I believe you have to have character as well. There's a lot of people whose gifts are without repentance, so I don't need an unrepented prophet in my house. I don't need it. I don't want it. I'll consider it a wolf situation. I'll smack you with my staff. And my staff will smack you. I don't know. You know. But I just need us to understand when the prophetic word of God comes out and it's biblical, all of us need to pay attention to it. It applies to every one of us from God. Somehow, this has to touch us. I don't know how it's going to touch you. I know what the Lord is saying to me, uncomfortable, but I know he may be saying something different to you. So the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, high priest. So God is saying to the political leader and the spiritual leader, he's talking to the whole kingdom right here. Hey, you that run the churches, hear what I'm saying. You that run the rest of society, hear what I'm saying. He took the two top leaders and said, I want to tell you something. God sent me with a message to you. It says this, the Lord of hosts. Who? Huh? The Lord of hosts, who's that? The Lord of everything. The Lord of everything says this. These people say, I am the church. His people have their opinions, don't we? They say, the time has not come that the Lord's house should be rebuilt. Lots of times, pastors will use this for building, like, hey, we're going to raise money to go building fund. Yeah. Woo, right? I'm not doing that. Don't stress it. I don't want to ever be in a building fund project. I want someone to give me a wonderful, nice building that's all done. Pastor Sean, we didn't know what to do with this, and we woke up in the middle of the night. Well, thank you, Mr. Gates. Let me pray for your soul, and I'll take that building. I don't ever want a building project. Never. Yeah. I never do. But often, we misprioritize when God says something, we put it in a different category. And he's trying to talk to them about, hey, I think you've been too self-focused. Too self-focused. Because the people say, the time has not come that the Lord's house should be rebuilt. I shouldn't go get a vessel. I'm in school. I can't go get vessels. You know, I'm this far back from being saved. You don't know how messed up I'm... Is it time that you get to say that? Is it time that you get to say that? I don't know. I think it's time to build the Lord's house when he says it's time to build the Lord's house. Most of us say, yes, I have stuff to work on, right? Better priority than God's priority. Yee, that's not good. Right? If the Lord said your wife is first, I don't care what anyone else says. And there's times he'll say, she's not first today. You do this. Don't put her above me. Yes, sir. That can switch. The problem is if we don't hear God when our priorities are out of whack, we're about to get whacked out. I've seen it happen in counseling session after counseling session. Missed priorities in marriage. Communication is not a big priority. Intimacy, not a big priority. Yeah, don't make those things a big priority. You're going to get a big mess. Don't make them a priority. You can sing all you want on Sunday morning as good as you possibly can. You don't make God a priority. Wipe out. You know? It is a big fact. It's not good. Our opinion is not God's law. We have to be remembering of that. Our opinion is not God's law. His priorities are his priorities. He's the groom to us. He's the king above us. He's the master over us. And it's terrible when he has to remind us of those things. I feel embarrassed. It shames me. It shames me that I have to be reminded that he should be priority. It shames me if I have to be reminded that she should be priority when she was sent. I feel shame. His way should always be above ours. And I think as a church we forget because we get humming along. Right? We get humming along. Haggai 1, 3 through 5. Say then.
Then.
The Lord of the Lord came to by Haggai the prophet saying, is it time for you yourselves to live in your expensive paneled houses while the house of the Lord lies in ruins? See, the society had destroyed the temple. When Darius came, he kind of crushed the church system, right? And people were in their concentration camps in Babylon, building a life. And they started to build their lives, get comfortable. And he said, hey, what about my house? And I think he's saying the same thing today, and it has nothing to do with this dog track. He's talking about vessels. Yeah. Where are the vessels? Is it time for you to be all about you? Or is it time to be all about me again? And if it's all about me again, then it's time to build my church. Yeah. I have vessels that I have to reach because I am the church. Whether you're a fresh-looking 90-something or a fresh-looking 9-something, we have a job to do. And I think God's been reiterating that over and over again. It says, now therefore, says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways and thoughtfully reflect on your conduct. Consider your ways. God says, consider your ways. Take a minute, bro, and properly assess yourself. Really, if we sat quiet for just 10 seconds, I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. You said, Lord, you just said it in your heart, right? Lord, have I been prioritizing my life appropriately to what you'd have me? Just take 10 seconds. It says, consider your ways and thoughtfully reflect on your conduct. Check, consider your ways. You know, can we hear God and what he's really saying and doing? If his priorities change on us, can you plow a different field? You know, I talked to the conference about using the bloody-handed guys to do things again and being involved. And it was great because I didn't know there was going to be a murderer that was released from jail. Jordan, the uncle, went to see the guy, his cousin, nephew in jail that for murdering that guy. Remember, they weren't going to let him in. He let him in. He's out. A young kid, he went in as a young kid, gangbanging. But he showed up at service. And I was talking about the bloody-handed man can really be used to do some things, you know. And I feel so much that God wants us to get back to that deep place of focusing on what our job is, what our bloody job is. There are people in this world that need so much of God. And we get courage here, I hope, and there's some powerful messages that come through here of inspiration and vision from God and prophetic, and I love to be part of it, and I love to hear it when our staff does it, we bring people in. But I want us to be like a chiropractor joint adjustment with this next 2 weeks of Sundays. I don't know what your adjustment is, but I feel like God wants to adjust us so we can function better. There's things out of place, out of joint, where we're not functioning like we should. There are things that are causing problems in our life. I have a problem with carbs. I mean, I got to purge some out of the house, right? Why? Because I'm going to eat that muffin at 4:15 in the morning. You know I will. That's a good muffin. You know? It's time to focus on building God's house. It is. Haggai 1:6, he says, consider. Please consider. He goes, because I'm going to tell you what's been going on in some of your lives. Not your lives, their lives. This was like how many 4,000, 6,000 years ago on this date exactly? Their lives. Their lives are probably way different than our lives. You have planted much, but you harvest little. You put money and effort into trying to improve your life, but you invest in stocks and homes and schemes and people and business, but you got jack. Let's paraphrase. You eat, but you do not have enough. You drink, but you do not have enough to be intoxicated. You clothe yourself, but no one is warm enough. And he who earns wages earns them just to put them in a bag with holes in it because God was withholding his blessing. If it wasn't such a crazy week and come back from conference and taking care of my grandchildren because my son needed some love and care to take, it was a busy week. I had an object lesson. And also I think I didn't do this object lesson because maybe it saved me from PETA violation. I'm not sure. But I was going to get a big bag of water with some goldfish in it. You know? I thought it'd be a cool object lesson. And then I was going to poke holes in it and let the water drain out until they're just about and flop them in the water. So that's pretty brutal, Pastor Sean. That's exactly what that's saying. You earn wages. You water your life. Poke so many stupid holes in it. I can't even bless you. And you're, I make $100,000 a year and I still don't have enough money. I make $10,000. You never have enough money. You never have enough money to do anything. Why? Because your priorities are jacked up. And not just in God's house, but like maybe cut down on the Twinkies and put that into some stock. You know? Cut the cigarette budget in half and put it into a mutual fund. If you want to hear about those things, Jordan's back there. He loves talking about that stuff. I've used all my terms in that world I want to this morning. I didn't want to hear any more of those terms. Don't even tell me what I did wrong about the terms. I don't want to hear about it. But that's, ever feel like life does that to you sometimes? That's going to raise your hand. But you ever have a situation in your life where like, I'm spinning my wheels and nothing's happening. I'm doing this and I'm doing that and I'm doing this. And man, it feels like my paycheck's gone. Check your priorities. What do you mean check my priorities? Oh, I mean check your Amazon account. Oh, no. She's like, oh, Nick, don't listen to him. Jasmine's going, give me that. Sometimes you got to check our priorities. Haggai 1, 7 through 8. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways and thoughtfully reflect on your conduct. Think about it. When you have reacted, did you do what my ways would do? Would they match mine? Go up to the hill country and bring lumber and rebuild my house, that I may be pleased with it. You know, I feel like if all of us in this sentence right here could keep our heart in that focus, it says, where am I? Back in my day. Go to the hill country, bring lumber, rebuild my house, that I may be pleased with it. That should be in there. Yeah, right there. You guys see it there. If we could just make our focus pleasing him. Yeah. Not correcting your brother when he steps out of line on Facebook. Not how loud you sing or that you know all the words or even that you can quote Leviticus 6:14. I have no idea what that is. But I know guys. I know pastors. There's a guy I want to travel with. He's better than Google. I just have to shoot a scripture out, and Pastor Vival, and thus saith the Lord, and he just knows it. I mean, he must have memorized that kid as a little Samoan kid. They must have forced him to read the Bible and memorize it by the time he was two, because he is a walking lexicon. It's impressive, and he knows God. But I know people that know the word like that, and they don't know anything about God. They use his words, but they don't know who he is. He's trying to rebuild my house so that he can be pleased with it. Church should look like he wants us to look, shouldn't we? We should go where he wants us to go. I don't get to make decisions about my life. I want to please me. What I would like to do, I would like to build a ranch up in Pine Top and run ministry out of there right now. If God allowed me to, I would love to sell everything, give the keys to the Ferrari to Pastor Larry and Pastor Sharon and say, I'm supporting you up there. We're going to another church plant someplace up there. And I got people, and that's what I want to do. Why? Because I'm going to build the things God asked me to. And then I'm going to do some Samoa and then some other things. What do you want to do? Not that right now?
Darn it.
You want me to do what? You're right in Apache Junction, bro, where I told you to be for now. So check it out. We have to have those conversations with God. Do you know how many times I've been tempted to take big job offers when things are stressful here? I miss making money, bro. Why? Because I like to give money away and do things with money and build things, and I got ideas. And when I got money behind ideas, crazy cool things happen every time. So I go, oh, let's do stuff. The church, I could serve the church better if I made another 100 grand a year. I could come here and preach and think what we could do. That's how I think sometimes. You know? But I don't get to make those choices. And sometimes we make choices all the time. We never consult God about a single thing. We say we're surrendered to his life. And this book is to remind us, hey, adjust yourself again. I'm not saying you're out of alignment, but check yourself to see if you're out of alignment. I know you've been checking to see if pastor's out of alignment. I know you've been checking to see if so-and-so's out of alignment. And I know my sister-in-law, she's out of alignment. Okay, good. Check yourself. Because I am the church. I am the church. Right? Haggai 1, 9 through 11. God's looking to see what matters more, him or his plan or yours and yours. I have great plans. You know, I empathize with David. He spent his whole life, once he became king, was to get all the funds he could possibly gather and all the best materials and all the best labors, all the best everything. He wanted to build a house for God who loves him. And just when he gets close, God said, I didn't tell you to do that. I just told you to collect the stuff. You're not going to build it at all. Why? Because you had a different job to do. You had to be a warrior. You had to build stuff. You had to conquer things. Your son's going to come do that job for you. Excited as I would be knowing that my son was taking over that. I would feel for a moment like I wasted my life. I thought you told me to build the temple. I said, no, I told you to collect stuff to build the temple. Can God say that to us? Can he change your life focus in a moment? I thought I was an ultrasound tech. But God said, oh, I thought I just played cello. I had no idea you wanted me to do that. Cello, maybe I do. See, Haggai 1:9. You look for much harvest, but it comes to little. And even when you bring it home, I blow it away, says the Lord of hosts. Why mess with your people like that? That seems cruel. Doesn't it, Jody, a little bit? Be honest, it's a little cruel, right? It feels a little cruel. You look for much harvest, but when it comes a little, and even when you bring it home, I blow it away because my house, my stuff, my ways lies in ruins. While each of you runs to his own house eager to enjoy it, right? No problem. The scripture says that no better thing than a man would enjoy the fruit of his vine. Man, there's nothing my high of life. You're like, man, you got to have a better life. So you're like, I'm going to be judged. Tim, don't judge me. My high of life, Rich, you'll get it. Sitting on my patio in an evening in Arizona in the winter. And a nice breeze comes rolling in. And my kids are all around me. And they're laughing and they're joking and the music's playing. And I'm sneaking the grandkids stuff they shouldn't have. Cheyenne, it happens. And I sit in those moments, and you can ask my wife, there's times I'll pause. And I'll say, there's no better thing than a man would sit under his vine tree and enjoy the fruits of his labor. So he wants that for us. But if I only focus that as my goal, I will not accomplish the kingdom's purposes. I won't go do hard things. I won't say hard things. I'll preach messages that make you want to give money and think this is the greatest place in the world. And I'll go retire. Preach on the Haggai is not the way you come back to a conference. I'll tell you right now, I would never tell young preachers, hey, the book of Haggai, Amos, why don't you get it a revelation? You know, No, dude, like, go to the book of John. Just love everybody at our conference, you know? Well, each of you runs to his own house eager to enjoy it. Enjoy it, but don't make it the priority. Therefore, because of you, oh, it's bad to hear that. I never want to hear, this is never good. I hate this part. I hate when God says because of you, when I want him to say it's because of someone else. You ever had anybody? Please don't leave me alone on stage. Thank you. You know, it's hard. But if we don't let somebody say something hard to us, we will never be what we're supposed to be. We run around avoiding things being said hard to us. I'm offended because a preacher said this. Maybe he needed to work on that, and maybe you needed to be offended. Maybe. Been stuck in the same old non-production mode for way too long. Yeah. Therefore, because of you, look at the clock. Ooh. That is your sin and your disobedience. Come on then. Consider it. Remember he said, thoughtfully consider it. That is your sin, your disobedience. Therefore, because of you, that is your sin and disobedience, the heavens withhold their dew and the earth withhold its produce. Why is that a problem? I'll tell you right now. When the people of God don't do God's stuff God's way, everyone's affected. When the people of God don't do God's stuff God's way, everyone is affected. We are supposed to be part of the answer, not the problem. We're not supposed to be the debate committee, the fight amongst each other committee. It's the surrender to God at all costs committee. We forgot that. Because some of us, as American Christians, I am a poster boy of it. I'm live the American dream. And I just, well, it's God's blessing. I'm just going to maintain that and keep hold of that. That's my goal the rest of my life. Oh my gosh, it is not the goal the rest of my life. It is not your goal the rest of your life. We are the children of God. We are the army of God. And the earth will suffer if we don't get on with it. There are vessels that are going to be smashed and forever lost, their souls gone, because I was so comfortable enjoying my fruit of my vine, the work of my hands. Oh, my church is so great. You should come Sunday morning. That we worship better than anybody, and we do. I believe this is the best church on the whole planet that I've ever been to. For me, I love to come when I'm preaching or not preaching. Honestly, I love it. But most of the time, for pastors, then I've achieved the goal. Funds, bills being paid? Yeah. You doing stuff in your city? Yeah. People growing? Yeah. Started Bible school? Yeah, wow, next level. Man, you can be satisfied. Rule your kingdom. But there comes a time, my conference message was, at the time of war, David stayed home. And when David stayed home, he saw another good-looking bride that wasn't his. And he lost his best soldier, one of his dear friends, and a child. And shame ruled the nation for a while. All because he didn't go to war when it was time to. Timing's everything. And we're in the time of it. It is time to adjust ourselves to completely under God's submission. Why? Because he's about to do some things in the earth that he needs his right alignment to do. There are vessels that need him, right? When God's people don't do God's stuff, it affects everyone. He says, I called for a drought on the land and on the hill country and on the grain and the new wine and the oil and the ground produces and the cattle and all the labor of your hands. Basically saying everything, bro. Ever feel like everything you touch is falling apart? What is going on in my life? I had a focus in a direction. Now it's a mess. Everything's falling apart. He's like, sometimes that's God in our lives. Oh, Lord, save me. He said, I'm trying to by wrecking all your crap. Lord, I need help. I know I'm trying to get you out of the stupid mess you dug yourself in. I'm trying to burn down your burdens. Let them go. No, I love these things. These are my credit cards, Lord. Oh, okay, never mind. I know, Jasmine. I know. I'm moving on. Haggai 1. Nick's like, preach it, pastor, preach it. Haggai 1, 12 through 15, right? Did I do that? Yeah, 12 through 15. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, listened carefully and obeyed. Wow. Wouldn't we like that for our children? If they would just listen carefully and obey, your life is going to be pretty groovy. Right? Yeah, we all, parents are going, dang, yeah, you bet. You know? Every teacher's like, uh-huh. Teacher Jen? Yeah. Yeah. Every kiss, and just listened and obeyed, you know? Listened and obeyed the voice of the Lord their God. Well, we got to start learning to hear that pretty good, don't we? And the words of Haggai the prophet, sometimes he sends someone flawed and imperfect, like a chubby guy in a coat. Sometimes he'll send a little girl. But we need to start learning to hear the voice of God when he starts saying things to us, and not just the blessing stuff, the adjust yourself stuff. That you're actually wrong. Go humble yourself and fix that. And try your best to stop doing that. Why? Because you're ruining the church when you do that. Why? Because you're ruining yourself. I am the church. And he's just trying to get us to adjust and say, if you keep me in priority, everything will be cool. If not, I'm going to start drawing back until you're in a world of mess, until you need me again. Listen carefully and obey the voice of the Lord and the words of Haggai the prophet, since the Lord their God had sent him. And the people reverently feared the Lord. Then Haggai the Lord's messenger spoke the Lord's message again to the people, saying, I am with you, declares the Lord. Say, I'm with you. That's the best thing you can hear from God. Like, if there's no other thing he says, I know some of you guys are real cuddly and lovey people, and I love that. I'm in certain areas of my life a gooey, lovey person. But you'd rather hear him say, I love you, than I'm with you. I think in many situations in my life, I'd rather have him with me than love me. Even though it's not a choice, it's both. Like, I might want a hug right here, but I'm facing a really dark situation. I'd rather just have you with me in a brawl than just, I love you, son. Good, but will you come with me to this fight? Don't send me alone.
Yeah.
You know? Declares the Lord. Now, that's worth the obedience right there. To me. I know sometimes those are motivated by different things. I like to be motivated by blessing. I'm of the temperament, you can't really motivate me by anything but what I want to be motivated by. Yeah. All right? If you say, well, I'll give you $1 million to do this thing and it goes against how I feel and go, or what I think is important, there's no amount of money in the world. There's no amount of money more than, let me kiss your wife on the lips and I'll give you $20 million. No. Well, actually, if you ask again, I'm going to gut you. Sorry. No, the answer is no.
Uh-uh.
There are things I won't do. And you can, there's things you can, well, if you don't, we're going to beat you to death. Bring it. I've died many times. I feel our attitudes need to be adjusted again. The people of the Lord feared the Lord. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, spoke the Lord's message to the people saying, I am with you. So worth it. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel and the governor of Judah, Joshua, and the spirit of the remnant of the people. Do you need to be stirred up again? Like, do you feel like you need a stirring? It's time to, like, shake it up a little bit. Feeling dusty. Hannah said, I feel dusty. Feel a little dusty? Man, I've been kind of stagnant. My Christian walk's been okay. It's been good. Or you feel like, I got to do something. I've been COVID coped up too long. I've got to shake my feathers about me. You feel that? God's shaking again. He's stirring again. He's saying, hey, 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 I'm ruffling your feathers. I'm stroking you the wrong way. Why? I want you to start thinking differently. It's the season. It's time to start moving differently. And it says this, and they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, on the 24th day, September 21st, in the second year of King Darius. You know what's crazy about that? It only took 1 month for that whole nation to act together. How long has it been since our election? How long has it been since COVID was released? It took a nation that surrendered to God and their leaders, who were godly leaders, who were surrendering to God. But a whole nation got rebuked about, look at, y'all, you're spending lots of money on yourself, your life. Your houses look great. Your families look great. Your cars look great. You're killing it in your new job. You got a fly set of clothes. That's a dope watch. Everyone's jacked. But guess what? My house is in ruin, and no one's getting ministered to there, and I'm not reaching the world, and you're not reaching the world, but you look nice. You smell nice. You can quote the Bible nice. You can sing a song nice. You can look like a Christian when you walk into the room. You can say the Christian kind of things. But he said, I need to get you back into alignment because I feel like your priorities have been out of alignment. Your priorities have been looking and acting that way and not following me in my way. Because sometimes he'll actually do something that other people can't believe it be God, remember? Day laborers. You're going to let them violate the Sabbath? Uh-huh. You got to follow Jesus when he turns through a grain field. If he wants to spit in the mud, let him spit in the mud. Stop pre-packaging Jesus in our lives. This is the season where the church of God is going to get our spinal adjustment and get our stretching in. Because I was talking to Andrew. I don't know if you guys get this. You can stand with me a second. I was talking to Andrew during worship. You can go ahead, stand. Go ahead. I was talking to Andrew. And there's a song that we sang today. It said, sing praises in the presence of my enemy. Remember singing that? So do me a sing it. I'll be like Apostle John. Sing now. Yeah. Sing a little louder. In the presence of my enemies. And I go, you know, it's so crazy. Most people don't realize what that is. It sounds weird. But if you've ever been in competition with anybody, ever had a rival high school that you just couldn't stand? A rival in high school? Someone that you're just like, ah, that guy. Or like, you know, Lord, bless the Cardinals today. We need your spirit and we need good leadership. And I pray that Christians would rise up in those locker rooms, Father God, and encourage them in Jesus' name. But we have rivals. And if you've ever had a rival that really hates you, this song is saying basically, scripture saying, he said to David, I'll prepare a feast for you in the presence of your enemies. Basically saying, you know that those people trying to kill you, keep you down? Yeah. You're going to get to stand there and go, how you like me now? How you like me now? How you like me now? I'm up on the winner's podium and you're there. You tried to kill me. I'm going to sing. You set me on fire. You turned me into a human candle. Sing a little louder. Nothing you can do can keep me from doing that. My priorities are right. God's trying to get our priorities back in alignment, church, because I feel there's a movement coming in the body of Christ like there hasn't been in probably 50 years. Amen. God's calling us to reach vessels. Amen. You can reach vessels. I can't. I never invite anyone to this church. Rarely. Like, I don't. Because I don't think, well, but I invited you to preach to you because I saw a problem in your life. I'm going to talk about Haggai, and you have not been giving. You've been out there on the sidewalk pandering for money. Come in. Let me preach to you about how you could be blessed if you gave. That's how I'm afraid she would hear that. I don't want her to hear that from me. Right? You have vessels you can reach. It's the season to reach them. But don't get your hand out yet. Please. Until you take this season to adjust yourself. Let this be a somber season. Not sad. But where you go, okay, God, where have I not laid down my life? Where have I been building something, even though I thought it was for you? I put everything towards you. I've got a Facebook page that says, I'm doing this. Will I lay that down? Will I let you go someplace that you're really uncomfortable? Would I give you a word in church? Maybe I would. Maybe I should. I'm going to. Because Jelly's not there, so she can't be embarrassed. Ever seen the movie 300? I feel like God wants you to see his kingdom kind of like that. Like there's a warrior
in you, but you don't know who to war for. You've been warring with yourself for so long. And maybe even other people, but God said, I put like a warrior in you, like a stout one, like a strong one, like you can trust kind of guy. He wants to build that in you and use you that way in places that you can't use other people. Because he takes warriors into places that some people can't handle certain situations. I love this girl on my heart. And she's a warrior in some ways, but there's some places I'll never purposely send her unless the Lord tells me audibly, because she's tiny and fragile. But some of us, he can send into rough places. And all I'm saying is God's coming after your heart because there's a warrior that he lacks. And he wants you to see it's different than the warrior that you understand. And he's like tough and tender. It's an amazing thing about God. He's tough and tender. But he's kind of made you that way. He wants to awaken a Spartan in you. Kind of can go without anybody else need to push you. Where you're like, okay, I'll go. Let's see what this is about. I feel like God wants to just lay a little track for you. Not like push you that way, but like, hey, just check that out. Just check that out. He'll lead you. I don't mean to call you out on that, but I'll say, man, first time at church, I don't like to talk. But there's a Spartan in there who wants to teach you how to defend the kingdom of God the right way. For the right reasons, the right God. Okay. Well, Lord, I pray you stir us up to whatever level you need us to be at. I'm trying to get my physical me back in alignment, Lord. I'm trying to get my emotional me, Father, in alignment. I'm communicating love to the people that I want them to know. Spiritually, Father, I've set myself to care about nothing else but your alignment. Lord, I pray that new season during this season would walk right in alignment with you. You wouldn't have to blow things out of our lives, Lord God. You'd be able to bring them in so we can care for them. Cause your church to expand by these vessels here, Lord. Whether they ever come to these chairs, Lord, I pray the church would double this year. I pray the church would double this year right here. Father, that there'd be people that have come to Jesus this year and made relationship, discipleship choices, whether they ever sit in these chairs because of the vessels you have in right here. Lord, I pray for every single person that's in this church that two more other souls would know you because of them. Father, that two more souls would come. We wouldn't be, oh, it's too inconvenient to go unwrap all those cups and go get them. It's too inconvenient to go get stuff from the cup. It's too inconvenient. I'm tired. I'm old. I work too long. I just have this. I don't speak very well. I don't know. I'm tired of being tired. Tired of being tired. People's lives are at stake. Isn't it time to be the church again? If you feel like it's time to be the church again, and you're ready for an adjustment, and you're ready to get a little more yoked. Because it's tough. Working under Pastor John was tough. I used to work out in gyms, Tim, that were dirty and nasty. Like, I didn't like to go to Planet Fitness and be all polished, like, oh, I need some water dripping off the ceiling. Right? You know what I'm talking about. I want, you know, is that should be sanitized. I know it should be, but we don't sanitize it. You know, back in the day, build free weights, build stronger muscles. Why? Because you had to use different, you know. I feel like the church needs to get back to that again. It's time to build ourselves up. Let ourselves be broken down, those muscles. Let us be humbled. Let us be repentant. Let's stop casting stones at other people. Let's start letting God do work in us so he can work through us. Amen? You can be released. Please love on somebody today.